We're doing Tehillim. We're up to the 47th chapter. We'll dedicate our learning tonight to the speedy recovery of Rafael Menachem Meir ben Rezel Edel. Hashem should send him a refuah shleima speedily. Rafael Menachem Meir ben Rezel Edel. Pasuk Aleph. Lamnatzeach livnei Korach Mizmor. So we have a song that was composed by the descendants of Korach, and we had a long discussion earlier. What does it mean, livnei Korach? Are they the children specifically of Korach? Are they descendants down the road of Korach? So we have the following song, which, as we saw in the previous chapters of Bnei Korach, this song looks deep into the future, to the great war of Gog and Magog, that great world war that is yet to come, or we hope we finished with it, at the end of time. And so we will see this chapter. This is a chapter that we read prior to the blowing of shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and we will see why momentarily.
Kol ha'amim tiku chaf, hariu le'elohim bekol rina.
Let all the nations clap their hands and let them blow their trumpets in celebration. Tik'u chaf could also mean let them shake hands, so to speak. Let them unite as they celebrate before Hashem. Ki Adonai Elyon Nora Melech Gadol Al Kol Haaretz. Because Hashem will be recognized that He is above everything. Ki Hashem, the tetragrammaton, Hashem, Elyon is elevated, He is above everything, Nora, He is awesome. Melech Gadol Al Kol Haaretz. And He is the great King, all of humanity will recognize it. So this is a song about the time when the world will recognize that Hashem runs the world. And you know that on Rosh Hashanah, we speak about that time. We speak in the shofarot. Shofarot represents the shofar of Mashiach, the anticipation of a time when the world will recognize that Hashem is running the world. This is Inauguration Day. Rosh Hashanah is the time when Adam was created. Adam was there to recognize that Hashem is king over the world. And on this day, on Rosh Hashanah, we do zichonot, Malchuyot, Zichonot, and Shofarot. We ourselves declare Hashem is King. We remember, or we make mention of, the merits of the past, of how Hashem stood up for us in the past, and we mention things we'd like Hashem to remember when He judges us. And Shofarot, we mention the future when the whole world will recognize that Hashem runs and judges the world. So here in this chapter, the sons of Korach look into the future and they say the world will unite and rejoice when they recognize that Hashem is the King over the world.
Yadbir amim tachteinu ul umim tachat ragleinu.
Yadbir. What does the word yadbir mean? So, we have two definitions of the word yadbir. One definition of the word yadber means to guide. And then it's a reference to the fact that we will take center stage at that time, because the world will recognize Hashem is running the world, so His people are also going to be elevated and given responsibility. So, yadber amim tachteinu. Hashem will guide the nations under us, all the nations will come up to Jerusalem and recognize that we are His people, and that is the capital. So that's one understanding. Another understanding is that Yadber comes from the word Dever. He will kill Amim Tachteinu instead of us. So to speak, Hashem will let out all His anger on them. Gog and Magog will gather by the gates of Jerusalem, and then there'll be a great plague. And we will be saved. It'll look like it's all over. All the nations will surround us. They'll all come up to the gates and we'll all be herded into Jerusalem. And at that time, Hashem will make a great plague. And Yadber Amim, Hashem will bring a dever upon the nations, Tachtenu, instead of us, Ulumim Tachat Ragleinu. Right, correct. And our sages really say that what happened to the Assyrian army could have been the prelude to the Mashiach. Chizkiyahu didn't live up to his task, but technically that could have been the prelude. That could have been the great war of Gog and Magog. Correct. In the Book of Kings, in the days of Chizkiyahu. Yivchar lanu et nachalateinu. Hashem will choose our lot and bring us back into our lot, into the land of Israel. Et Gion Yaakov asher ahev Sela. Hashem will bring back the glory of Yaakov that he has loved for eternity. So, Yivchar lanu et nachalateinu. Hashem will again bring us back and re-choose that territory for us to live in, the land of Israel. Et Geon Yaakov, the glory of Yaakov, which is the base of Migdash, asher ahev Sela, that Hashem loved so much. Hashem loved it for eternity. Hashem will bring us back to the glory of Israel, which is Jerusalem and the Beis HaMikdash. Ala Elohim bitruah Adonai bekol shofar. The potent one was elevated with the blowing of the trumpets. Everyone, we said, will unite. Everyone will rejoice that Hashem is king. And so Hashem will be elevated in that. Another understanding is it's talking about the trumpets that they will blow when they bring the korbanot, the sacrifices. Hashem, bekol shofar. Hashem will be exalted and elevated with the sound of the shofar blowing. Now, there's another understanding here. We have machlokas, we have different interpretations among the sages. What is the idea behind blowing shofar? One famous interpretation is the interpretation of Rav Saadia Gaon, that you're blowing it the way you'd blow when you're inaugurating a king. Okay. Very nice. So, when we blow the shofar, Allah Elohim bituah. Look at how Hashem will be elevated with the blast of the shofar, that the nations will recognize him as king. Do you mind putting it in the back so guys don't? Thank you. So the pasuk continues, pasuk Zayin, Zameru Elohim, Zameru. Zameru lemalkeinu, zameru. Give praise before Hashem, give praise before our King. Zameru. Zameru, now that's a very interesting term for praise, because the word zameru really means give song. And the consistency of song. The pasuk repeats four times to give song. Zameru Elokim, zameru, zameru lemalkeinu, zameru. And that's again, one of the difficult things in life, to be consistent in giving song. The greatness of what's yet to come when Hashem takes control of the world in an overt sense is that there will be that continuum of song. Meaning today you don't have a continuum of song because song, Ein Adam Shal Shira Ela Mitoch Simcha Ela Mitoch Simcha. You guys know the song? You don't sing unless you're happy. Meaning a song is an outburst from the soul. And you don't have a continuous outburst. There are happier times and there are sadder times. There are times when you want to sing and there are times when you want to cry. Says the Navi, Zameru Elokim, Zameru, Zameru Lemalkeinu, Zameru. You will sing and sing and sing. A consistency of song, that is part of the greatness of the time that's yet to come. A time of consistency. And that's the idea that we say, Umal Hashem Elokecha et levavcha ve'et levav zarecha. Hashem says, in that future time, you and your son will have a circumcised heart. Ordinarily, if you want to be a tzaddik, well, there's usually backlash. The kid comes out and says, not for me, dad. You go be pious. I have better things to do with my life. It's one of the great boons of Chozrim B'tshuva and Gerim. It's one of the great difficulties that their children don't want to continue their path. Dad, you made a change, I'll make a change, the boomerang effect. And one of the things that makes it even harder is that the kid grows up, and very often the parents unwittingly keep giving him that message. If the kid keeps seeing the grandparents that are leading a different lifestyle and keeps hearing about how they made this change, so you know what? Change, okay, you made your change, you made your mark in life, I'll make my change. The great promise of the time to come is you and your children will be with the circumcised heart, will be faithful to the way of Hashem. It's not easy. Chazal say there's a special segula, that if there's a special amulet, so to speak, that if you're a rabbi, your kids won't be. The Gemara says, why is it that Hashem made it that people who are big in Torah, their children usually are not? They have a much harder time growing in Torah. What? Look around. It's that way till today. Yeah.
Why is this happening? Why? They rebel against their father, or they feel that they can't surpass their father, and so they don't try?
The Gemara gives a reason for the amulet. I think that down here, down below, without the reasoning of the Gemara, there are natural explanations that are easy to understand. That are different than what the Gemara says. But just one second, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that I've heard some explanations, like when it comes to great scholars, evil, like demons or whatever you want to call it, negative energy, is attracted to them like moths to a flame. That's why there's it says Gemara or somewhere that like a Talmid Chacham should not walk alone at night because of things like that. So when it comes to great scholars and your children, the Yetzer Hara, the Klipa, whatever you want to call it, tries to attach itself to their children because whenever you have great good, you'll find greater evil trying to counter it. You know
okay. Okay. Pasuk Chet. Ki melech kol ha'aretz Elohim zameru maskil. The capacity to continue singing is because Hashem is now king over all of the earth. Ki melech kol haaretz Elokim, be it in Israel or outside Israel, zameru maskil. So we can celebrate the fact that Hashem is king, and who can celebrate that? Maskil, anyone who has attained that understanding. Another understanding is zameru maskil, give song with intelligence. It's easy to sing a simple song. We expect that a person's song will be reflective of his greater strengths. And so zameru maskil, Shlomo HaMelech say, David HaMelech, or the sons of Korach say, let the song reflect your greater intelligence. Malach Elohim al goyim. Elohim yashav al kisei kodesho. Everyone will declare in their song how great is it that Hashem is king over the nations, that Hashem has now finally sat on his holy throne and everyone can recognize him. Nidive yamim ne'esafu. The leaders of the nations have gathered. Am Elohei Avraham. The nation of the God of Avram. And over here, Nedivei Amim Ne'esafu, who are these Nedivei Amim? So one understanding is, these are the nations that volunteered to be Noachides, these are the nations that volunteered to become Gerim, the leaders of the nations that Am Elokei Avraham, the nations that have been faithful to the God of Avram, Ki Lelokim Magine Eretz Mod Na'ala. Because Hashem has the shields of the earth, so to speak. Hashem is above everything, and He could protect whoever He wants to protect. Another understanding here is that Nidivei Amim is the nations that volunteered themselves to be faithful to Hashem. And these are the nations that gave up their lives or risked their lives for the sake of Hashem, the God of Avram, who was the first to risk his life for Kiddush Hashem. Ki lelokim maginei eretz, because all of them risk their life for Hashem, because they know if Hashem wanted to, Hashem could intervene, but they never know if Hashem will or won't. This brings us to another point. Let's go back to our story, the story we discussed earlier tonight. We have a girl, Yael. She wants to marry Avner. Her father opposes it. He gives her over to the king. The king tries to convince her. The king tries to force her to marry someone else. He incarcerates her for 7 years, puts her in solitary confinement for 5 years, sets her up before the firing squad, and in the last second, she's already agreed to give up her life. In the last second, Avner comes charging in and saves her life. And we said that this is a parable for the great story of Avram, who risked his life for Hashem, and was willing to endure all those hardships until finally they were ready to kill him. And Avram was even willing to endure that and maintain his faith to Hashem. Now, let's ask a question. And this question dawned on me. I don't remember the scenario exactly, but we'll paint out a scenario, and I think you'll all agree with the question. And after the question, we have to have an answer. What?
We won't have yet the answer.
I didn't say you won't agree, but I'm saying we have to get an answer to the question.
Okay, that's good.
Let's say we're going to go into a time machine and take ourselves back 600 years. We're going to take ourselves back to the period of the Spanish Inquisition. Okay? We go back 620 years, and we're at the Spanish Inquisition. And we're going to go meet up with a Jew that knows that he's going to be taken before the Inquisitor and tortured to death if he doesn't accept converting from Judaism. Now, we're standing before this Jew, and the Jew tells us, I have a question. I've seen what's happened here the past few weeks. I've seen people tortured to death. The Spanish would gather everyone into the town square and make a public occasion of torturing Jews to death, those who wouldn't convert to... the Jew says, you know, I want to understand something. I believe in the Torah. I believe Hashem is one. I believe this is the truth. But what benefit is there of my giving my life up for it? I'll be dead and right, but dead. So I'm right, but why should I give up my life? Or if we go back to our time machine and leap back in time to the period of the destruction of the Second Temple, we go back 2 millennia and we're standing there before Hannah and her 7 sons. And Hannah tells her sons, don't bow down. I know he's going to kill you, but you don't bow down. And imagine one of the boys walks over to the side and says to you, what do you say? You know, it's just a physical act. What's the big deal? I bend my knees, I bend my head, I don't believe in it, and you know I don't believe in it, and God knows I don't believe in it. What's the logic in saying, don't bow down, give up your life? Well, so even if there isn't Chilul Hashem, there's a mitzvah to give up your life. I don't... Right, so the Torah obligates one to give up their life rather than bowing down to the idol. But along comes the kid or the young adult and says to you, you know, I'm 15, I have a whole life to live. I want to understand something. Explain to me. What's the big deal? I'm going to bend my knees, bend my head, bow to this idol, and the Torah expects me to give up my life and not bow to the idol. Why?
Because
Oh, right. Right. So Avram had an even bigger claim. Right. I forgot that point. Thank you. Avram could say, in God's name, I shouldn't give up my life. Who's going to keep a monotheism in the world? If I give up my life, so it's over. For God's sake, I shouldn't give up my life. So this question bothered me for many years. The question of what's the big deal? And I want to hear what you guys have to say. Yeah?
I think when you do something like that, even if you don't believe in that, it just corrupts you so thoroughly that there's just no way to go back from that, and you'd be better off dead in a way.
Okay. I thought along the lines that you're saying, but slightly different. Slightly different.
Do the same thing as well. And if it doesn't corrupt you, it will corrupt your children. For example, the children of the people who converted to Christianity after the Spanish forced them, they said the very people were crypto Jews, they were practicing Judaism underground, but their descendants were assimilated to the Christian world because they were seeing themselves as Christian.
So I'll tell you. Let's complicate it a little bit. Let's imagine that he tells you, if that's the logic, I'm going to get out of here as soon as I can. I know I have to get out of here. I know I have to bring up my kids in a religious environment. So in order to not corrupt my kids, I'm going to get out of here. It's just a one-time thing. So I'll tell you, I came to a certain conclusion. I haven't seen it written anywhere. Maybe it's just too obvious to everyone. There comes a point in life where if you don't stand up for what you believe in, then life's not worth living. And there are points that it's not just an action. You'll say it's just an action. No, it's all of life. And this requires a lot of thought. You know, these are words that are easy to say, but they're not. The idea that part of my purpose, you have to really believe I have a purpose, I make a difference. It makes a difference to the world if I bow to that idol or not, because you'll say, what difference does it make, little old me? I'm Chana's fifth son, so Chana had four sons before me and two sons after me. They're all not going to bow to the idol. My mother won't bow to the idol. What's the difference if I do? I'm 15 years old, I have a whole life ahead of me. Does God really care? The answer is yes. But you have to really internalize. God cares. You make a difference. And you make a difference to the whole world. And as much as we cherish life in Judaism, and we cherish life, we cherish every moment, we fight for every moment, we desecrate every mitzvah in the Torah but three for minutes of life. But then you come to the point where you say these are three mitzvos that are antithetical to life itself, and life is not worth living if you give up on these three. Adultery, gilui arayos, the prohibited relations, it's not only adultery. So there's immorality, there's blasphemy, and there's idol worship. But you have to think about that. You know, that's it's much easier to say to yourself, man, what's the big deal? So I did it. And the answer is, it is a big deal. But that gives us a whole different perspective. So that means that what I do is a big deal. Says the... What?
Isn't it murder and idolatry?
Yeah. Right. You're right. Murder, idol worship, right. And Gidur Arayot. Right? You're right. I'm sorry. I said once, a few weeks ago, that it's very hard to talk and listen to yourself at the same time. It's like you talk and... No, I'm happy you corrected me. It's murder, idol worship, and Gilui Arayos. Thank you. That's Gilui Arayot, Shvichut Damim, and Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayot, Shvichut Damim. Right? Those two. Yes?
Yeah, but it's like, will you come to a point to... like me, when I was the past, I come to the decision, this is a choice I make. This choice I have to stick to, my whole family is against it. But this is a choice I make. And this is the way I want to live.
Right, but when it comes time to give up one's life, and one can say, it's only external, it's only an action, it's only, and the answer is, it's not only. Very good, I didn't change my mind. I believe I'm a monotheist, and Avraham Avinu could say even more. It's in God's name I have to live. Who's going to maintain monotheism in the world? So I think that built in is that understanding. I do make a difference, and I make a world of a difference. And to God it makes a world of a difference if I bow or I don't bow. And if He gave me life on this planet, then He gave it to me with the responsibility to live up to those ideals.
But then He can take it away.
Right?
If He decides to take it away like this.
Oh, so that's at the root of it all, what you're saying now. If I really realize that every second that my heart is beating is His gift to me. Yeah. So then if He gave me these rules to live by, where He says on these three you don't turn back, so then I have an easier time swallowing it, right? Because, like Papus and Lilianus said, two Jews that were killed by the Romans, so they said if God wanted, He has many bears and many wild animals that He could use to kill us. He used you instead of the bear. Okay, that's a perspective, right? And maybe what you're saying now is pshat in the pasuk. All the nations will gather to glorify Hashem. They are the nations of the God of Avram, who was the first to volunteer himself before Hashem. Ki le'elokim agine ha'eretz, because they realize that Hashem has the capacity to shield everyone, all who have faith in Him. He has the capacity, He has the control. And so therefore, like Yonatan pointed out, it's not so hard for a person to come forward and say, okay, I'm volunteering, or I'm going to insist and not give in on these points, but rather, even if my life is on the line, I won't give up on these points because I know He controls the world. But again, these are words that are easier to say, and I think they require a lot of thought.